gotta take a little time, a little time to think things over. I better read between the lines in case I need it when I'm older.
This is Wanna Feel What Love Is, a Stranger Things fanfic written by J.K. Rockin and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated G and contains the pairing Steve Harrington, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for prom, slow dancing, alternate universe, everyone lives, nobody dies. Are they dating? Unclear. Are they in love? Yes, obviously.
Take a little time, a little time to look around me. I've got nowhere left to hide. It looks like love has finally found me. In my life, there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face.
The first time Eddie failed senior year, Principal Higgins had called Wayne in for a meeting. He'd had Eddie's report cards laid out on the desk, a list of every class he'd flunked. Actually, only like 2/3, tops, and he'd gotten a B in English. Along with the paperwork for re-enrollment, which Wayne had signed on the spot, before Eddie had a chance to talk him into letting him just drop out and get a job. Higgins had steepled his fingers and looked at Eddie over the top of them, and said, "Unfortunately, Mr. Munson, this will also mean refusal of your prom tickets." Eddie hadn't even bought prom tickets. "Gee whiz, I'm heartbroken," he had sneered, and signed the form, drawing slashes around the M in Munson to make it look like a hand throwing the devil horns. Like he gave a shit about prom. Prom night 1984 found him in the parking lot outside the gym, in the back of the van he'd finally managed to convince Pete Thatcher to sell to him, drinking shitty beer, watching shitty kids he hated go to their shitty prom. He'd parked behind a tree, intending to people watch, but he'd ended up selling his whole stash to kids who saw the van. Because it was an entire goddamn van behind a sugar maple with a trunk a foot wide, Eddie. Genius move. And thought that's why he was there. And when everyone else was inside, terrible music pumping out the windows out of time to the flashing lights, he'd shut the doors, drunk the rest of the six-pack, and fell asleep with his neck cricked sideways on the back bench seat. Not exactly the end of Footloose, but not like Carrie either, so. The second time he failed senior year, Higgins was a lot more of an asshole about it. He didn't mention prom at all. Eddie made it clear to his regulars that prom night party favors were available on a pre-order basis only, and spent the night, and the money, at the hideout, feeding quarters into the busted jukebox, and getting wasted with the weird old guys who seemed to live in the place. Technically, nobody's told Eddie he can't go to prom this year. He's graduating. He's officially, legally, not a murderer. Nancy and Robin and Jonathan are all going. Jeff is taking a girl from athletics. He could go. He could drink bad punch and laugh with his friends, and Jason Carver would probably be too busy winning prom king to try to string him up from the rafters. But also, like, he can't go to prom. There's going to be a tribute to the kids who died. A lot of people, not just Carver's basketball goon squad, still think Eddie did it. And walking into a gym full of assholes who think he's a satanic killer sounds... bad. Not worth renting a suit over, for sure. He's not going to lurk in the parking lot like a creep this time. He'd been debating the hideout again, but Steve calls him the morning of prom. Yeah, they've been talking about it. Dustin is furious the older kids haven't invited the party as dates. And says, "Hey, come over tonight?" Shit, you don't gotta ask him twice. They've been whatever it is they're doing for a couple of weeks now. Basically, since all that nasty shit went down. Eddie woke up in the hospital with Steve asleep in the chair by his bed. And his Steve-less days have been rare ever since. It's been good. Steve's good. If he could go back to that miserable prom night in 1984 and tell himself then that one day he'd been making out with Steve Harrington on a semi-regular basis, and it's not even a hate sex thing, he'd have laughed himself sick. But maybe it would have helped embrace for all the shit in between if he'd known there was all this waiting for him after. He gets to Steve's late in the evening, as the sun's going down. The front door is unlocked. Rich kids, man. And the lights are low in the entryway. From the back of the house, he can hear the stereo on, some dorky pop song playing. "Steve?" he calls out, but there's no answer. Before he can freak out, his gaze falls on the garment bag hanging on the end of the banister. A piece of paper pinned to the bag reads, "Eddie," in the middle of a crudely drawn love heart. He unzips the bag. It's a suit. It's, shit, a nice suit. Charcoal gray, so dark it's almost black. Satin lapels with a blood red shirt. No tie. He holds it up. There's a bathroom downstairs, just off the hall. He takes the suit bag in. When he comes out, the stereo's still playing, and Steve's still nowhere to be seen. Plucking at the lapels of his jacket to get them settled, he follows the music through the dimly lit main room to the patio doors. They're open, but a silver foil curtain's been hung over the doorway, stirring in the breeze. Eddie pushes through it and stops, breath catching. Normally, Eddie's not a big fan of the Harrington abode. It's cold and ugly and lonely. Adjectives he'd never associate with Steve. And he's always worried he's going to scuff the furniture or break Mrs. Harrington's priceless Ming vase or whatever and get Steve in trouble. Tonight, though? Tonight, there's a portable gazebo put up on the back deck, with strings of warm white lights strung between it and the house. There's crepe streamers, like a lot of crepe streamers, red and blue and yellow and green, hung in swags all over, and glittery silver cardboard stars, big and small, hung on strings here and there. "Holy shit," he says. "I hope that's a good holy shit," Steve says, holding himself out of a pool lounger. He gives Eddie a long look, up and down, taking in how the suit he got for him fits, and grins, a sweet, pleased thing Eddie feels down to his toes. Steve's wearing a suit, too. Objectively, it should be horrible. It's a little more fashionable than Eddie's. Dove gray, kind of shiny, with a white shirt and a pink bow tie at his throat. But it's not. It fits him really, really well. He looks like every asshole prom king in every crappy teen movie Eddie's ever grudgingly seen. His hair is perfect. Eddie feels like he's about to swallow his tongue. "Very good, holy shit," he says. "Steve, did you make me my own prom?" "The kids helped with the decorations," Steve says. "Jonathan and Argyle put up the lights. Everyone helped out with the food. But Nancy made the punch, so it might be lethal. She's got a heavy pour." He scratches the back of his neck. His suit jacket bunches. He's wearing a pink cummerbund. Eddie's going to burst something. And he looks up at Eddie under his long, lovely lashes. "I know you said you don't care about prom, but you deserve a prom to not care about, you know?" Mortified as I am to admit it, "I totally care about prom," Eddie says. "Sweetheart, you did all this for me?" Steve beams. "You like it? I thought maybe it was too much." Eddie's never been great at telling what's too much. Nobody's ever done anything like this for him before. His heartbeat feels big and wild in his chest, imagining Steve and the kids and his new friends doing all this just for him. "I love it," Eddie says. "It's perfect. Come on, feed me a tiny sandwich, hot stuff." The tiny sandwiches are pretty great. The punch is, as promised, like paint stripper with fruit in it. He slams two cups in quick succession before Steve takes the ladle away. It's kind of weird to be giggling and shoving finger food in each other's mouths completely alone in Steve's yard. But it's nice, too. It's nice that when Steve gets ketchup on his chin from one of Mrs. Wheeler's pigs in the blanket, Eddie can wipe it off with his thumb without worrying about who might be watching them touch. The music, however, is tragic. Phil Collins, Simple Minds, Journey, Cyndi Lauper. He was nowhere near prom night 85, but he wonders if Steve maybe taped the DJ's set right off the decks. "My God, Steve," he says, as Girls Just Want to Have Fun comes on. "Did you raid Erica Sinclair's tape collection for this? I can literally feel my dignity leaving my body." "It's a good song," Steve says, and tugs on his arm, pulling him away from the mini quiches and out onto the deck. "Dance with me?" He asks like he's expecting Eddie to say no, just like he'd expected Eddie to not like his personal private prom. Steve arranged all this, not even believing Eddie was going to appreciate it, let alone be nice about it. It makes something fierce twist in Eddie's throat. It makes him want to give Steve everything. Anything he needs. Whatever makes it so he never wears that shy, uncertain expression again. "Dignity is for suckers, anyway." Eddie follows Steve out under the string lights, and he fucking dances to Cyndi Lauper. Neither of them are great dancers, but that's okay. There's nobody else here, so he can hold Steve's hands in his hands as they bop around. Watch him smile, gamely attempt a twirl, probably easier with a partner who's not the same height, but it makes him laugh, and that's all that matters. He's debating the possibilities of headbanging to pop when the chorus repeats fade out. And another song comes on, the transition a little jerky on the homemade tape. If he did get the chance to go back to 1984 and give past Eddie a peek into the future, he'd probably leave out a couple of specifics. Past Eddie would totally believe the horrifying monster stuff, but staying on the makeshift dance floor while a goddamn Foreigner song comes on? Pulling his friend? Makeout friend? Friend who is a boy and also saved his life a couple times? Whatever. Pulling Steve in, putting his hands on his waist? Eddie from right now can barely believe that shit. And he is doing it. And of course, Steve just comes to him. Like it's easy. "Hi," he murmurs, arms going around Eddie's shoulders. "Hi," Eddie echoes. He doesn't even have it in him to make it sound sarcastic. Steve's warm, and his suit jacket is smooth under Eddie's hands as they rock together, foreheads almost touching. The stereo wails. That's easy. This is. In every dangling star, every haphazardly assembled hors d'oeuvre, Eddie sees love. Effort, too, but what else is love besides choosing to put in the effort? They haven't ever said anything even close to it, but he knows. Steve fucking loves him. He can feel it. "Hey, Steve," he says quietly. "I'm trying to be chill, but this is the nicest thing anyone besides Wayne has ever done for me." "What about when the corroded coffin guys replaced your good amp? That was pretty nice." They're too close for Eddie to see his face, but he can hear the smile in his voice. He sounds so goddamn fond. "I mean, that is a really good amp," Eddie concedes. "But this is, like, romantic as shit. And really kind. And you're..." He takes a deep breath. "Can't stop now, I've traveled so far," sings the stereo. "I think you're a fucking great boyfriend, Steve Harrington." Steve's still swaying against him when he slides his hands up to cup Eddie's face. They're still dancing as Steve kisses him. Just as hot and fantastic as it always is every time. They don't have to stop for anything. The end. "Now this mountain I must climb feels like the world. Clouds I see love shine. It keeps me warm as life grows colder." Authors Nuts. This is the first of two works I was lucky enough to create for the fantastic Going Steady fanzine. I had a good time with it, and I hope you do too. I'll try to hold off on posting my piece for the NSFW B-side digital edition until tomorrow, but who knows? My willpower has failed me before. Title from Foreigners, I Want to Know What Love Is. This is so ooey-gooey and G-rated, I can't imagine what I might need to have tagged for. But if something slipped past me, drop me a comment to let me know.